Good morning, and welcome to Just One Thing, Simple Practices for Resilient Happiness by Dr. Rick Hansen. This is your volunteer programmer, Babs Felix, from the Sunsound Studios in Flagstaff. Rick Hansen, PhD, is a psychologist and New York Times best-selling author. He's been invited to speak at NASA, Oxford, Stanford, Harvard, and meditation centers worldwide. His books are available in 28 languages and include Making Great Relationships, Hardwiring Happiness, Just One Thing, and Mother Nurture. His work has been featured on the BBC, CBS, NPR, and other major media. And now, Just One Thing. What's your heart saying? The practice? Speak from the heart. Why? One Christmas, I hiked down into the Grand Canyon, whose bottom lay a vertical mile below the rim. Its walls were layered like a cake, and a foot-high stripe of red or gray rock indicated million-plus years of erosion by the Colorado River. Think of water, so soft and gentle, gradually carving through the hardest stone to reveal great beauty. Sometimes what seems weakest is actually the most powerful. In the same way, speaking from an open heart can seem so vulnerable, yet be the strongest move of all. Naming the truth, in particular, the facts of one's experience, which no one can disprove, with simplicity and sincerity, and without contentiousness or blame, has great moral force. You can see the effects, writ small and large, from a child telling her parents, "I feel bad when you fight," to the profound impact of people describing the atrocities they suffered in Kosovo or Rwanda. I met a man whose marriage is being smothered by the weight of everything unsaid. What's unnamed is all normal range stuff, like wishing his wife were less irritable with their children and more affectionate with him. But there's been a kind of fear about facing it, as if it would blow up the relationship. But not talking is what's actually blowing up their relationship. And in fact, when people do communicate in a heartfelt way, it's dignified and compelling, and it usually evokes support and open-heartedness from others. How? This week, look for one or more opportunities to speak from your heart. Pick a topic, a person, and a moment that's likely to go well. Before you talk, ground yourself in good intentions to discover and express the truth, whatever it is, to help yourself and the other person. Get a basic sense of what you want to say. Focus on your experience, thoughts, feelings, body sensations, wants, memories, images, the dynamic flow through awareness. It's hard to argue with your experience, but easy to get into wrangles about situations, events, the past, or problem solving. Be confident. Have faith in your sincerity and in the truth itself. Recognize what others may not like what you have to say, but you have a right to say it without needing to justify it. And that saying it is probably good for your relationship. When you speak, take a breath and settle into your body. Recall being with people who care about you. This will help deepen your sense of inner strength and warm up the neural circuits of wholeheartedness. Soften your throat, eyes, chest, and heart. Try to find a sense of goodwill, even compassion, for the other person. Bring to mind what you want to say. Take another breath and start speaking. Try to stay in touch with your experience as you express it. Don't get into any sense of persuasion, justification, defensiveness, or problem solving. That's for later, if at all. Be direct and to the point. When people speak truly from the heart, they often say what needs to be said in a few minutes or less. It's the case wrapped around the heart of the matter that takes all those extra words. Keep coming back to the essential point for you, whatever it is, especially if the other person gets reactive or tries to shift the topic. And allow other aspects or deeper layers of what's in your heart to come forward as you speak. You don't need to know everything you are going to say before you start speaking. Feel free to disengage if the other person is just not ready to hear you. Maybe another time would be better. Success here is not getting the other person to change, but you expressing yourself. As appropriate, open to and encourage the other person to speak from the heart too. And afterward, know that whatever happened, you did a good thing. It's brave and it's hard, especially at first, to speak from the heart, but so necessary to make this world a better place. You are listening to Just One Thing, Simple Practices for Resilient Happiness by Dr. Rick Hansen, brought to you by Sun Sounds of Arizona in Flagstaff. And here's a quote from Dr. Rick. It's brave and it's hard, especially at first, to speak from the heart, but so necessary to make this world a better place. What's in your heart to say? The practice, speak truly. Why? It's been said that the most powerful tool for physical health is the fork or spoon, since the choices you make with it determine the good or bad things you put into your body. In the same way, perhaps the most powerful tool for your mental health and certainty for the health of your relationships is your tongue. Thousands of times each day, it, or your fingers on the keyboard, same thing, offers the good word or the bad one out into the world. If you say what is true for you and say it clearly and kindly, you get one kind of results. But if you use a sharp tongue, speak falsely, exaggerate, or leave out the parts that are most important to you, you get different results. Unnecessary conflicts, lost opportunities, a tightness in your chest, etc. Of course, the most important person to speak truly is to yourself, with inner speech. Come to peace with the truth, the facts, your experiences and intentions, the goodness inside your heart, what's led to what, for better or worse. On the other hand, if you act like something is true, but deep down there's a knowing that it's not, like it's okay not to go after an important dream, or that you can keep putting off dealing with a health issue, such as smoking, or that evening's fine, that everything's fine in a cool and distant marriage, you're living on thin ice. Hard to build a good life on that foundation. Truth is bedrock. Even if you wish the truth were different, it's what you can count on in a world full of selling, spin, and BS. It's your refuge. How? Speaking truly does not mean saying everything. You can cut to the chase in a conversation, not burden a child with more than he or she can understand, be civil when you're angry, and not spill your guts in a meeting. Nor should you confide more than is appropriate. There's a place for privacy, for not telling A everything you know about B, for recognizing how intimately you can safely communicate in a particular situation or relationship. Speaking truly to yourself and others does mean being authentic. Is your outer expression lined up with your inner experience? Most of us have that thing which is hard to express. For me, growing up, it was feeling inadequate. For many men, it's feelings of fear or weakness. For many women, it's feelings of anger or power. Could you find appropriate ways to say your whole truth, whatever it is? Ask yourself, what am I actually experiencing? Relax your face completely and look at it in the mirror. What does it tell you? What does it say you really need these days? Also, ask yourself, what's important that's not getting named? This applies both to you and to others. Consider the hurt or anxiety beneath irritation, or the rights or needs that are real stakes on the table. Is there an elephant in the room that no one is mentioning? Maybe someone has a problem with anger, or with drinking too much, or is simply depressed. Maybe someone's jumbo job, 60, 70 hours a week or more, counting commute and weekend emails, is crowding family life out into the margins. Especially when you're upset, watch out for distortions in the words that you use. These include leaving out the context, like getting mad at a misbehaving child who's hungry, using extreme language, words like always or flat statements that should be qualified, or using a tone that's harsh or nasty. Without talking like a robot, look for ways to be more judicious, accurate, and to the point in what you say. Last, accept the fact that no one is a perfect communicator. You're always going to leave something out, and that's okay. You have to give conversations room to breathe without continually judging yourself as to whether you're speaking truly. Communicating is repairing. As long as you come with basic sincerity and goodwill, your words will weave and mend a tapestry of truth in all your relationships. You are listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona in Flagstaff, bringing you Just One Thing, Simple Practices for Resilient Happiness by Dr. Rick Hansen. And here's another. There's been mistreatment or injustice. Now what? The practice, stay right when you're wronged. Why? It's easy to treat people well when they treat you well. The real test is when they treat you badly. It's natural to want to strike back. It might feel good for a little while. But then the other person might overreact too, and now you're in a vicious cycle. Other people could get involved and muddy the water. We don't look very good when we act out of upset, and others remember. It gets harder to work through issues in reasonable ways. When you calm down, you might feel bad inside. So let's explore how you can stand up for yourself without the fiery excesses that have bad consequences for you and others. How? You can use these suggestions both in the heat of the moment and as a general approach in a challenging relationship. Get centered. This step could take just a few breaths, or if you like, a few minutes. Here's a quick review of psychological first aid. Pause. You rarely get into trouble for what you don't say or do. When I work with couples, much of what I'm trying to do is to slow them down to prevent runaway chain reactions. Have compassion for yourself. This is a sense of, ouch, that hurts. I feel the warmth and the caring for my own suffering. Get on your own side. This is a stance of being for yourself, not against others. You're an ally to yourself, being strong on your own behalf. Clarify the meanings. What are the important values or principles that the other person may have violated? For example, on a 0 to 10 awfulness scale, a dirty look is a 1 and a nuclear war is a 10. How bad was what the other person has done or is doing? What meanings are you giving to events, and are they accurate and proportional to what has happened? Events do not have an inherent meaning. The meaning they have for us is the meaning that we give them. If what has happened is a 3 on the awfulness scale, why have reactions that are a 5 or a 9 on the 1 to 10 upset scale? See the big picture. Take a moment to focus on your body as a whole. The room as a whole. Lift your gaze to the horizon or above. Imagine the land and sky stretching away from wherever you are. And notice how this sense of the wider whole is calming and clarifying. Then, place what this person has done in the larger frame of your life these days. What they did could be a small part of that whole. Similarly, place what has happened in the whole long span of your life. Here, too, it's probably just a small fraction of it. Alongside the ways you've been wronged, what are some of the many, many things in your life that are good? Try to get a sense of the dozens and dozens of genuinely good things compared to whatever has been bad. get support. When we've been mistreated, we need others to bear witness, even if they can't change anything. Try to find people who can support you in a balanced way, neither playing up or playing down what has happened. Get good advice from a friend, a therapist, a lawyer, or even the police. Have perspective. In the next few chapters, I'll have specific suggestions for how to talk about difficult issues, resolve conflicts, and, if need be, shrink a relationship to a size that's safe for you. Here, I'm focusing on the big picture. Listen to your intuition, to your heart. Are there any guiding principles for you about this relationship? Can you see any key steps to take that are under your own influence? What are your priorities, such as keeping yourself and others safe? If you wrote a short letter to yourself with good guidance in it, what might it say? Recognize that some wrongs will never be righted. This doesn't mean minimizing or excusing bad behavior. It's just a reality that sometimes you can't do anything about it. When this is the case, see if you can feel the grief of the damage that can never be repaired with compassion for yourself. Walk a higher road. When you've been wronged, it's especially important, even though it can be really difficult, to commit to practicing unilateral virtue. Know what your own do's and don'ts are. With certain situations and people, it's helped to remind myself of specific instructions such as stay focused, don't pursue their distracting accusations, keep breathing, stay measured and to the point, don't feel that I need to prove or justify myself. Also, tune into the feeling of being calm and centered. If you were going to be interacting with this person again, think through how you'd like to conduct yourself in specific situations, such as a family gathering, a performance review at work, or bumping into an ex while you're with your current partner. You can mentally rehearse skillful responses to different things they might say or do. It might seem over the top, but practicing with these in your mind will help you actually do them if things get intense. Try to stay out of quarrels. It's one thing to work with someone toward the resolution of an issue, but it's a different matter to get caught up in recurring wrangles and squabbles. Quarreling eats away like acid at a relationship. I was in a serious relationship in my mid-20s, but our regular quarrels finally so scorched the earth in my heart that the kind of love needed for marriage couldn't grow there. If the other person starts getting fiery, speaking more loudly, getting provocative, threatening you, blasting you, deliberately step back from them, taking some long, slow breaths, and keep finding that sense of calm and strength inside yourself. The more out of control they get, the more self-controlled you can be. Much of the time, you'll realize that you just don't have to resist the other person. Their words can pass on like a gust of air swirling some leaves along the way. You don't have to be contentious. Your silence does not equal agreement, nor does it mean that the other person has won the point. And even if they have, would that actually matter so much in a week or a year? Be at peace. Others are going to do whatever they do, and realistically, sometimes it may not be that great. Many people disappoint. They've got a million things swirling around in their head. Life's been tough. There were issues in their childhood. Their ethics are fuzzy. Their thinking is clouded. Their heart is cold. Or they're truly self-centered and mean. It's the real world, and it will never be perfect. Meanwhile, we need to find peace in our own hearts, even if it's not present out there in the world. A peace that comes from keeping your eyes and heart open, doing what you can, and letting go along the way. You've been listening to Just One Thing, Simple Practices for Resilient Happiness by Dr. Rick Hansen, brought to you by Sun Sounds of Arizona in Flagstaff. This is your volunteer programmer, Babs Felix, thanking you so much for listening today, and I hope that you have a wonderful, peaceful rest of your day. And now, stay tuned for more interesting programming coming to you from Sun Sounds of Arizona.